This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linford.
And this is your Nishna Valley for the final weekend of September.
I can't believe it. It doesn't seem like it should be over already.
It gone. Yeah, it's all gone. It's harvest season. It's fall. It's actually a pretty neat time of the year.
Yeah.
Like I said, I would love fall a lot better if it didn't lead to winter.
Yes, that's true.
You know, I've come to determine, I saw something the other day that somebody had written. They said they don't mind winter so much up until the holidays. After the holidays, winter is just a nuisance.
Yeah, it's a pain.
Well, you know, if you're like a lot of us, I like snow around Christmas season.
Well, around Christmas, yes.
Because it feels like Christmas.
Yeah.
After that, not so much.
Yeah, I could go bye-bye.
January and February, nah, I don't really need it that bad.
Yeah, especially
bad.
February. That's way too long out there to keep getting snow.
Yeah, don't need that. But yeah, it's just this time of the year, beautiful time of the year. Oh, we've had some great weather here the last few days.
Yeah.
Oh, this weekend, nice. The latter part of this past week, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Upper 70s, around 80 degree weather in the afternoon. Of course, it's this time of the year, so it's not obnoxiously humid like it is in the summertime. The sun's lower, so that's not such an intense part of the day, but gosh, it's been nice.
It's been great.
I enjoyed going out the other night mowing the lawn. Yeah, just because it was nice to be outside doing something that was kind of fun. So I hope you get a chance to get out and enjoy all that stuff. You know, this time of the year, we're getting on harvest, getting on harvest season. This past week was National Farm Safety and Health Week. So there are lots of little tips and things that folks like to throw out there, but the public safety officials threw out a lot of different things that, you know, you should be aware of this time of the year. You know, farming is really three seasons. Well, it's four seasons, I guess, when you think about it. The winter season, that's your planting and whatever else, and then you got spring season, that's planting.
Right.
And then you've got the summer season, that's just kind of watching and hoping. watching and hoping season. And then you've got fall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's when things really start to pick up again. So sometimes it's real easy to overlook little details here and there. Well, there are a lot of things you should be aware of. And the public health officials talk about things like power line safety. You know, beware of where the overhead power lines are when you're moving equipment, things like that. People and equipment always need to maintain a distance of at least 10 feet from power lines. Know the height of all your equipment when you're transporting it from place to place. Cultivators, planters, all those kinds of things. When you know, they might be taller in the fold-up position than they are actually during field use. So be careful of those kinds of things. Augers.
Yeah.
You know, you don't really think too much about that sometimes when you're just rolling down the road, but you can lower augers to transport level when you're moving them, even just a short distance. And you should make sure that the auger system has a good ground connection, too. Never attempt to raise or move a power line. That's not a good thing.
No,
it's not a good thing. Watch for the guy wires, which support the utility poles, because damaging a guy wire can weaken a pole and bring the whole thing down, including the live power lines. You don't want to do that.
No.
Don't erect fence wire along the same route as overhead lines, and don't string fence wire where it may come into contact with any overhead lines. If a tractor that you're operating comes into contact with a power line, you should remain seated until help arrives. If there is a danger of fire, though, you want to jump as far away from the tractor as possible, and keep your feet together when you land. And you don't want to allow any part of your body to touch the equipment and the ground at the same time. Don't just step out.
Mm-hmm.
Jump out.
Right.
And don't attempt to touch or get back on the equipment after dismounting, because that's when a lot of those injuries occur. And then there's the electrical safety, too. You know, all the electrical outlets should be three-hole grounded outlets with face plates. You want to be safe about that. Make sure you ground the entire electrical system and protect the ground wires and the rods from any damage. Install a lockout switch that can turn off all the electricity from one area. It's vital in the event of an emergency or some sort of a repair. And if you have any doubts about the condition of electrical circuits, wiring, or equipment on the farm, you want to have a licensed electrician come in and inspect those. And with regard to grain bins, a lot of accidents happen with grain bins. If it's necessary to get into a grain bin, shut off and lock out the electricity before you get in. Also, you want to make sure that you use a safety harness and a safety line and have people available outside the bin just in case of emergency. You should know the National Electrical Safety Code requirements for horizontal clearance between the side of the grain bin and any adjacent power line, and the vertical clearance above the bin to the nearest line, and make sure the wiring on the property all complies with that. And if farm equipment does come in contact with a utility line or another piece of electrical equipment, you want to call the energy supplier immediately so that they can take care of business. And you just should contact them also before you construct or remodel a grain bin to make sure that the electrical transformer is the right size for what you're trying to do, too. And those are just some electrical issues that come up with regard to safety, and there are all kinds of other things. You know, on the roadways, mm-hmm. and it's not just people operating the big machines. It's us, too,
right.
operating cars. Be aware of those things that might be moving slower than we normally would. You know, be aware of all the common safety hazards that can happen with tractors, combines, all those big pieces of equipment. If children are around, you know, always be aware of those types of things. If there's only one seat in a device, that means it's for one person only.
There's a reason for it.
Yeah, there's a reason for it. Don't put somebody else in there on your lap, on a, you know, standing outside on a rail or something. And, you know, even at home, I see that now and again. You'll drive through town and you'll see somebody out mowing their lawn with a riding mower, and they'll have a young child sitting on their lap.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you just want to get out and yell at them? What are you doing? You know, you shouldn't do those things. How many times do we have to hear of accidents that happen because of that? You know, things happen. Be safe. Don't put yourself in those kinds of positions because, for goodness sakes, we don't want to read about you on the news.
No.
It's not a good thing. It is that time of the season, though, and, you know, one of the other things we see, not just field work and all that kind of stuff. Boy, this is the best time of the year if you're looking for good homemade
food.
Yeah,
there's always lots of events going on. Let's see here. Let's get started with the Atlantic Fire and Rescue's Water Fights. That's on Sunday, September 28th. That starts at 2 p.m. at the Cass County Fairgrounds. And the registration for that is at 1, and they'll have women first, and then men will follow. It's only $5 with 100% payback for first, second, and third. So that's the Atlantic Fire and Rescue's Water Fights, September 28th at 2 p.m. at the Cass County Fairgrounds. And again, registration's at 1. Scoop the Loop in Griswold is on September 28th. It's to help raise money for Hank and Anita Pangelina. The Pieces and Dreams Car Club is inviting cars, trucks, and bikes to participate from 4 to 8 p.m. on Main Street in Griswold. $10 will be donated for all registered vehicles by Rhodes Insurance. Free will donations are welcome. That free hot dog meals will be available, and you can enter the Loud Pipes contest with cash paybacks and no entry fee. Betty Boop lookalikes are wanted, and call 778-4154 for more information. Let's come out and join the Scoop the Loop in Griswold, September 28th. And that's to help raise money for Hank and Anita Pangelina, and that's from 4 to 8 p.m. Map of My Kingdom, a play tackling the critical issues of farmland ownership, will be performed on September 28th at 2 p.m. at the Wilson Performing Arts Center in Red Oak. They'll have refreshments and discussion with the author will follow the performance. And that's, again, in Red Oak. Tickets are $10, and they can be purchased at the door, and that's Map of My Kingdom on September 28th at 2 p.m. at the Wilson Performing Arts Center in Red Oak. Emmanuel Lutheran Church's second annual fundraiser breakfast buffet will be held on September 28th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. It's at the Kimbleton Church basement. They'll be serving lots of great breakfast items, pancakes, waffles, a French toast casserole, an egg bake casserole, sausages, pastries, juice, milk, and coffee, and that's for a free will donation. They'll also have some bake items available for sale. So join them at the Emmanuel Lutheran Churches for their second annual fundraiser breakfast buffet on September 28th from 9 to 1, and that's at the Kimbleton Church basement. Just a reminder for you out there, the Cass County Assessor's Office will be closed on September 29th through Wednesday, October 1st for yearly training, and they'll open again on Thursday, October 2nd at 7 a.m. Join the Exira Public Library for an evening with William Sherman, a speaker from Humanities Iowa. The Iowa Country Schools Milestones will review important dates and persons who had a significant impact on country schooling in Iowa and the nation. It's free and open to the public, and light refreshments will be served. The Cass County Farm Bureau is holding a coat drive from October 1st through October 31st. They're collecting gently used children and adults' coats, and they can be dropped off at the Cass County Farm Bureau office at 1501 East 7th Street in Atlantic, and then the coats will be donated the first week in November. So get out your old coats, bring them to the coat drive October 1st through October 31st, and that's at the Cass County Farm Bureau office here in Atlantic. St. John's United Church of Christ, God's Portion Sale and Supper is on October 1st. They'll be serving handballs and roast beef, real mashed potatoes and gravy, corn, green beans, roll, assorted salads, and homemade pie from 5 to 7:30. And they do have carryouts available that starts at 4:30. Cost is $8.50 for adults, $5 for kids under 10, and kids 5 and under eat free. The auction starts at 8 p.m. with baked goods, quilts, rugs, and much more. And St. John's United Church of Christ is located 1 mile south of Lyman on Highway 71. So at St. John's United Church of Christ, their God Portion Sale is October 1st, and that's from 5 to 7:30, and then the auction starts at 8. Avondale Church of Rural Fontenelle will hold their Fall Supper and Bazaar on October 4th. That starts at 5. The supper will feature handballs and minute steaks. They do have carryout meals available, and the auction of bazaar items will follow the meal. The Avondale Church of Rural Fontenelle, their Fall Supper and Bazaar on October 4th, and that starts at 5. The Pumpkin Patch Family Fest will be held at United Church of Christ on October 5th from noon to 3, and that will be held rain or shine. They'll have some free activities for you. It includes a bounce house, train rides, face painting, pumpkin decorating, and games, and they'll be serving 25-cent food, including hot dogs, nachos, treats, and drinks. So join them for the Pumpkin Patch Family Fest, United Church of Christ at 1607 Hazel Street, October 5th from noon to 3. The Atlantic Fire and Rescue's annual fire prevention breakfast will be held on October 5th. It's from 7 a.m. to noon, and they'll be serving pancakes, eggs, sausage, coffee, milk, and juice, and that's for a free will donation. It's the Atlantic Fire and Rescue's annual fire prevention breakfast on October 5th from 7 to noon. Over in Exira, the Exira Holy Trinity Catholic Church, they're having a Stanley's Chicken Supper. It's October 5th at the Exira Rec Center. They're serving from 4:30 to 7, and they're serving up Stanley's Chicken along with mashed potatoes and gravy, salad, vegetable, dessert rolls, and beverage. And you can get your tickets from the church members ahead of time, or you can still get them out the door. And those ticket prices are $10 for adults. 5 through 12, it's $5.50, and preschoolers are free, and the carryouts are just an extra 50 cents. It's the Exira Holy Trinity Catholic Church Staley's Chicken Supper, October 5th at the Exira Rec Center from 4:30 to 7. Over in Adair, the Adair Emanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church Oktoberfest will be held on October 5th at the Adair Community Center. It's from 11 to 1. The menu there includes roast beef, bratwurst, sauerkraut, mashed potatoes, green beans, applesauce, and desserts, including homemade pie, and free will offering for the meal, and that will support the building of a ramp at the church, and they'll have a silent auction after. The Adair Emanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church Oktoberfest on October 5th at the Adair Community Center, and that's from 11 to 1. A lot. Yes, it is.
Well, that's an awful lot of stuff there. All right, I tell you what, let's go ahead and just take a break, and then we'll come back, and I've got some more stuff here to tell you about yet, too, before we move along. We'll be right back.
Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cass County Memorial Hospital.
Generally, occupational therapy focuses specifically on hand and wrist and elbow injuries, while physical therapy addresses the back and lower body issues, any kind of leg, hip fractures, knee problems, etc. And physical therapy often works with a patient's mobility, their ability to transfer and ambulate, while occupational therapy would focus more on the patient's everyday tasks, such as dressing and bathing, preparing meals, things like that. And occupational therapy also tends to work a little bit more with cognitive issues, testing for cognitive decline and whether a patient is able to function safely on their own at home or if they would benefit from having more supervision. We complete safety evaluations in patients' homes to make recommendations so they can increase their safety and reduce their fall risk. There's a lot of areas where we overlap, but there's a lot of differences in what our goals are too. So
again, that's Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cass County Memorial Hospital.
All right, more stuff to share with you here this morning. Let's take a look. This weekend, the Bowman Chapel annual roast beef dinner, craft and bake sale is going on. That's this Sunday, September 28th, from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. They'll be serving roast beef, mashed potatoes, vegetables, salads, pie, and drinks. Roast beef and mashed potatoes. Mm. That's just a good fall meal. They're asking for a free will donation. Carryouts are available. Crafts and bake sale gets underway at 11 a.m., and they'll have one beautiful quilt for silent auction from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. You'll be able to bid on that. So, again, that's the Bowman Chapel annual roast beef dinner, craft, and bake sale this Sunday, September 28th, serving from 11 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. at the Bowman Chapel. Good stuff. Also, coming up not too far down the road, the Cass Lodge number 412 Pancake Feed will be held at the Griswold Fire Station, and that'll be on Saturday, October the 4th. That'll be from 7 to 10 a.m., with the proceeds going towards scholarships. And they're serving pancakes, sausage, scrambled eggs, and drinks, asking for a free will offering. That's Saturday, October 4th at the Griswold Fire Station, the Cass Lodge number 412 Pancake Feed, 7 to 10 a.m. Also coming up not too terribly far down the road, Wednesday, October 1st, will be the first of the Avoca Main Street Market events. Now, they have a whole bunch of vendors that will be participating in this, and the market will be held on Elm Street in Avoca, and it will be held on Wednesdays in October, the 1st, the 8th, the 15th, and the 22nd. So four consecutive October Wednesday afternoons from 5 to 7 p.m., starting this coming Wednesday, October the 1st. And if you have any questions, you can contact Anna at Avoca Main Street Incorporated at 712-249-8042. They have a whole bunch of different vendors on here, too. It looks like they've done a pretty good job collecting a lot of folks. There'll be pumpkins and decorative gourds and all kinds of different things that you'll be able to find there. So hope you get a chance to get out and enjoy some of that fun in the fall. Also, coming up not too far down the road, it'll be Fire Prevention Week here soon. In fact, the week of, October 11th will be a lot of activities to finish up, because I know the Atlantic Fire Department is having their parade on that day. And also October 5th, they're getting their Fire Prevention Week activities started with their annual breakfast. The donation breakfast will be October the 5th at the Atlantic Fire Department from 7 a.m. until 12 p.m., and they will be serving eggs, sausage, and pancakes, all kinds of good stuff there. So if you want to come out and participate, they would love to have you there. And then also, if you want to enjoy the parade is coming up on Saturday, October the 11th. That starts at 6 p.m. They start at 2nd Walnut Streets. You line up at 4, starting at 3rd and Olive Streets to line up there, and then they'll get you all put together. Working smoke alarms save lives. That's the theme this year. Working smoke alarms save lives. So test yours every month. That's the theme. And they'll have awards for the department that comes the furthest away, the most members from one department, many other awards there too. Always well attended. Again, that's October 11th at 6 p.m., the Atlantic Volunteer Fire Department's Fire Prevention Week Parade. They have all kinds of folks coming in. The Isisarets Drill Team and Drum Corps out of Des Moines will be here again. The Pleasant Green Baptist Church Drill Team from Omaha will be here. And those bagpipers that everybody loved. Because how do you not love bagpipers? I mean, how do you not love that?
Some serious skill to do that.
They actually went through the parade a couple of times. They marched through and then went through it again.
Oh, yeah?
That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's bagpipes. You don't see that all the time.
No, you sure don't.
Well, they'll be back again, too, so you'll be able to enjoy that. But they're always encouraging groups and businesses, different fire departments from around the area, of course, different organizations. You're all invited to participate. So get your floats, get your entries ready, and get yourself ready to go that night so you can get in line and enjoy the parade. Now, also something else that's that time of the year for would be flu shots.
Mm-hmm.
In some places, the flu vaccine is just readily available all the time, and you can just kind of stop in whenever. But some area locations are doing different flu shot clinics. For example, the Guthrie County Hospital, they're doing flu shot clinics, and they have a number of them set up. For example, in Adair, in the city of Adair, they have their first one coming up this Tuesday, September 30th, from 3 to 6 p.m., and then they'll have another on Monday, October 13th, and again on Thursday, October 23rd. And those are all from 3 to 6 p.m. In Panora, they've already had one. They've got one down. They've got two more coming on Monday, October 6th, and also on Wednesday, October 22nd. And again, those are from 3 to 6 p.m. And then also, they've got in Stewart, they'll have one coming up Wednesday, October 8th, Monday, October 20th, and Tuesday, November 4th. And again, those are all from 3 to 6 p.m. They ask you to bring your insurance card and ID, or if you're going to self-pay, it's $40. There's no appointment needed. Walk-ins are welcome. You can call the clinics in Stewart, Panora, or Adair if you'd like to have know more or have any questions at all. And also the Mertu Medical Center, the Shelby County Clinics, they have an aggressive schedule set up for their flu shot clinics starting this next week on Wednesday, October 1st from noon to 3. Then again on Friday, October 3rd from 10 till 2, on Wednesday, October 8th from 1 to 6, Friday, October 10th from 1 to 3, and then on Monday, October 13th from 10 until 2, and those will all be in Harlan at the community health location. Now, then they'll start moving around a little bit. Tuesday, October 14th, they'll be in Irwin at the community building there from 10:30 till noon. On Friday, October 17th, they've got two different locations set up. They'll be at the St. Joseph's Parish Hall in Erling from 9 to 11:30 in the morning, and then at the St. Boniface Parish Hall in Westphalia from 1 to 2 in the afternoon. On Tuesday, October 21st, they have two different ones set up again. From 9 to 10:30 in the morning, they'll be at the Defiance Fire Hall, and then that afternoon from 1 to 2:30, they'll be in Shelby at the community building. Now, on Wednesday, October 22nd, they'll have a visit to Avoca at the Avoca Public Library from 12:30 to 2. They'll be back in Harlan again on Saturday, October 25th at Community Health from 9 to 11 a.m. They'll be moving on October 29th to a couple of locations. In the morning, they'll be in Panama at the Fire Hall from 9 to 10:30. And in the afternoon, they'll be at St. Mary's Parish Hall in Portsmouth from noon until 1:30. And then the last of the clinics will be on Monday, November 3rd in Elkhorn at the Lutheran Church. And that'll be from 9 to 11. So wear short sleeves and make sure that you're ready to go. They have you can bring your insurance information, or if you'd like to pay there, you can do that too. The charge for the regular shot is $35, the high dose $45, the flu mist is $40. So make sure you're prepared for all of those things so they can move that along relatively quickly. The Harlan Clinics, they do require appointments for, and you can call the Shelby County Clinics at 755-4422, or you can show up at one of the other clinics and they'll get you taken care of. So it's that time of the year for that again, too. All right, let's see. We got any birthdays here this week?
I don't have any
birthdays. You don't have any birthdays at all?
No.
Yeah, we'll see. I do have a couple of anniversaries here to share with folks. I do have this weekend, actually, Don and Ramona Kaufman of Portsmouth celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary, and they'll have a dance this Sunday, September 28th, from 2 until 6 at the Legion Hall in Arcadia. The Wayne Ripke Polka Band will be furnishing the music. Sounds like they're going to raise the roof there. They're going to have a good time. Again, Don and Ramona Kaufman of Portsmouth celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. That dance, again, is this Sunday, September 28th, from 2 to 6 at the Legion Hall in Arcadia with the Wayne Ripke Polka Band. So congratulations to Don and Ramona Kaufman on their anniversary. Also coming up next week, Jeff and Penny Nelson of Harlan will celebrate their 25th wedding anniversary. They'll have an open house on October 4th from 4 to 7 p.m. at the American Legion Hall in Harlan. And everyone's welcome to attend. Again, that's October 4th, 4 to 7 p.m. at the American Legion Hall in Harlan. That's for the 25th wedding anniversary for Jeff and Penny Nelson of Harlan. Congratulations to those folks. We wish them the very best. Any babies?
I have a baby. A baby girl was born on Tuesday, September 23rd, to Kate Wheatley and Jeff Koss of Exira. Riley Lynn weighs 7 pounds, 8 ounces, and is 20 and a quarter inches long. Grandparents include Terry Carter of Exira, Jeff Koss of Moscow, Iowa, David Wheatley and Ronnie Epperson of Atlantic, and Mary Wheatley of Atlantic. So congratulations to Kate and Jeff with their baby girl, Riley Lynn, born on Tuesday, September 23rd.
And Kate?
And Kate.
Is my wife and I's niece. Is that right, my wife and I? Me and my wife's niece,
my wife and me's niece,
I don't know. She's our niece.
Yes.
So put it that way. So that would make Riley Lynn our
great
niece.
Yeah.
That would make us not just aunts and uncles, but great aunts and uncles. Where did the time go?
No kidding. Yeah.
How old are we getting? Wow. Oh, that's all right.
As old as you feel.
I'll still claim ownership because she's a sweetheart. She's a cutie. Aren't they all at that age?
Oh, yes, they are.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, a couple other things, too, here to throw in before we finish up here this week. I do want to throw in a plug for the Atlantic FFA alumni. I had a chance to visit this week with Dave York, who is serving as the president of that group, and Eric Miller, who is the Atlantic FFA instructor. And we talked a little bit about how they're getting organized a little bit. They have about 10 members for the Atlantic FFA alumni chapter, and you can join if you'd like. You didn't even have to belong to the FFA when you were in school, if you'd like. If you just understand the importance of agricultural classes and the ag programs that they do provide, and you want to help to support that. And it's not so much supporting it with your money. There is a cost. It's $15 per year for membership, or if you just like to buy a lifetime membership fee, then it's $250. And if you happen to move at some point, you can have that transferred to whatever location you have if they have a local chapter there too. So you can always help out. But they're just looking for folks who might want to be actively involved in mentoring a little bit and making sure things are going in a positive direction. So they'll have meetings here and there, and you have a chance to visit. If you'd like to know more about that, you can contact Eric Miller. He's the Atlantic FFA advisor. You can get him online with email, or you can call him at the high school. He'd be happy to share more with you about that, because they're pretty excited about that. It's nice to get the community involved in some of the educational things that are going on in local schools. And hey, here's one for you. You text.
Yes.
I see you.
Yep.
You text a lot.
I don't text as much as some people around here. I'll say that.
Like who?
Don't we call him out? Rod.
Oh, yes. Some of them do text a lot, don't they? People are texting more. You know, I said I'd never do that. I always found that to be kind of silly.
Mm-hmm.
Why would it's easier, it's quicker just to pick up the phone and call somebody and tell them than it is to type out a letter, which is essentially what you're doing when you text. But you know what? Sometimes texting is the easy way because you don't have to interrupt someone by making a phone call.
You can get a quick answer.
Exactly. If you're looking for a quick answer, you can get one as long as people know when enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to say thank you and you're welcome 16 times after you finish up with your texting.
Okay.
Okay, thanks a lot. Goodbye. See you later. You know, all that kind of stuff. But I've noticed a note in the Wall Street Journal this last week. It was entitled, "Texting Frequently with Thumbs May Cause Tendonitis."
Oh, I don't use my thumbs. I'm good.
You don't? How do you text?
With my finger.
Oh, okay. Well, then never mind. I'll just throw this away then.
No, I want to hear it.
No, they said tendons in the hand can thicken abnormally and develop tendonitis in people who text frequently by using their thumbs. That was a study published online in the American Journal of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation. They said even when you text with both of your thumbs, and I think a lot of people kind of got used to doing that when you had the little slide-out keyboards.
The keyboards,
And now that you're on the screen.
It's just the flat.
Yeah, and it's a lot different. And some people are texting with your index finger. But they say even when you text with two thumbs, most people tend to put greater stress on the thumb on their dominant hand.
Yeah.
The study found that repetitive joint movements, of course, are a common cause of chronic tendon injuries in large joints, like the shoulder. But overuse injuries of the small tendons have received very little attention. So they said researchers in Turkey recruited 149 people, ranging from 18 to 40 years old, for the study. About half of the participants were ranked as frequent texters, and they used a texting style that involved repeatedly flexing the joint closest to the tip of the thumb. And I'm not sure if I can even pronounce it. It's called the interphalangeal joint.
Okay.
The rest sent relatively fewer texts, and they also used their thumbs. Ultrasound imaging was used to measure the thickness of the tendon that travels through the carpal tunnel to the tip of the thumb. And the researchers found that this tendon was significantly larger on the dominant texting side of participants who texted frequently. Tendon thickness was associated with the number of text messages sent per day. The greater the number of texts, the thicker the tendon would become. Frequent texters also reported greater thumb pain.
Hmm.
They had more pain in their thumb in the dominant texting hand than they did in the other one, and that they had more than the infrequent texters. Now, what is a frequent texter? A frequent texter, they said, sent an average of 1,209 text messages a month.
Whoa, I don't think I'm frequent.
Compared with infrequent texters who sent about 50. Yeah, but really, think about it. 1,209 text messages a month. That's roughly 40 a day. It's really not as many as you think. And you can whip through 40 a day pretty easily.
I mean, if you do a lot of K's and okay.
Well, yeah, think about it. A lot of people just text back and forth saying okay or thanks or hey, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
50 texts a month, that's hardly texting at all.
No.
Yeah, so there you go. If you
I'm
text,
somewhere in between of that.
You are? Okay, sure. We'll count them up and see.
Check out my bill next time.
If you're a frequent texter, make sure your insurance is paid up.
Yeah.
Something else we have to worry about now,
Yeah.
Oh, well. Well, that's all we have time to worry about things here this weekend. Thanks for joining us here on our program. We sure appreciate that. We got a couple of texts to rip off here, so we got to move along. This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linfer.
And this has been your Nishna Valley.